There we go. So, wonderful. Good to have you here this morning. New day that the Lord has made. And this is a kind of like, I would say, a foundational, it's a foundation of our faith, really. How what we see in this passage here is so critical to us. And you say, well, this is about 3,000 years ago. How can it matter to my life today? Well, it does. Because God is speaking and working in the lives of those people back then, and he's going to do the same thing for us today. He's the same God. You know, way back in 3,000 years ago in present times and way in the future as we meet him. So this is the power of God and his word and how he moves and how he teaches us through his word and through the lives of others before us. And people will learn from our lives as well as they watch us. If you haven't noticed that already, that's how God works. He works through us to impact the lives of the people around us as well. You know, back in December 1944, General S. Patton Jr. was really tired of this bad weather. It was bogging down all of his armor. His tanks couldn't move very fast, and it was foggy. It was just bad weather. All right, and they needed, and you know, he was getting tired of. So he wrote to the chaplain, and he says, "Hey, is there a prayer for weather?" And the chaplain went, "Not specifically, you know." I don't think he was thinking about the calming of the storm or anything like that. So that might have been a good one. But he said, "Okay, I'll write one." So he wrote one out, and that's what's up here. He wrote out this prayer, "Almighty," I don't know if you can read it, "Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains." Don't you like that language? This is 1944, immoderate rain. Just call it as it is, stinking rain, with which we have had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations." And all the people say, "Amen." All right, that's a powerful prayer, isn't it? And it just, you know, there's a battle going on. We've talked about it in VBS last summer. There's a battle between two kingdoms. There's a battle for our lives. There's all this, you know, and there's a real battle back then in World War II. And General Patton liked this prayer so much that he said, "Well, let's make 250,000 prayer cards and deliver them to everybody in the Third Army." And it was done. 250,000 were handed out on December, I think it was December 14th, the last card was handed out. And just in time, because they said that December 16th, that's when the Battle of the Bulge happened. That's when Hitler, his armies were trying to push the Allied forces back into the ocean again. And there was a lot of stuff coming at it. And then it encircled this one town there called Bastogne. And that's where the 101st Airborne Division was. And they're the ones that trained in Toccoa, Georgia, actually. And they were the ones that were preventing them from taking over the city. That would give them five roadways that they can move their armor a lot quicker and cause a lot of havoc. So the prayer was answered a little bit later. I think it was December 23rd where General Patton was. He was a little further away from that area, but the weather cleared. And I think I had a little quote. He said, one of the soldiers says, "It was the war's most beautiful sunrise." So because they haven't seen the sun probably for I don't know how long, all right? And so they were able to start moving their equipment again at a better rate. And now they knew they had to get there because Bastogne, these guys were, you know, they didn't have that many men and they did not have a lot of armor or ammunition or anything like that. And the Germans already surrounded them. And this is that famous scene where Germans come in and they ask, you know, they want to ask for the surrender of the American commander of that of the forces in that area, and they said, nuts. Of course, the Germans didn't understand that, but all the Americans understood that. That's going, hey, you're crazy. We're not giving up. And so, you know, by God's grace, General Patton and the Third Army were able to move in at a good rate there and finally help push back the Germans as the 101st Airborne also stood their ground. And, of course, we know that what happened with the victory over the Germans at that time. And so, you know, and I can just hear, you know, the rumble of the tanks and that armor. And they're not little light little toys. So the ground must have shook when that armor started coming in. And I got a feeling these prayers, see, General Patton says, you pray. And I tell you something, General Patton says, you pray, you better pray. I don't care if you know God or not. You're praying. And that's what was happening. And he had another prayer put up too as well below that one. This one, it says, to each officer and soldier in the Third Army, United States Army, I wish a Merry Christmas. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We march in our might to complete victory. May God's blessings rest upon each of you on this Christmas day. So all this was going on. The prayers are being lifted up. And the battle was won. Huh. And that's where we leave off. Because, see, you got all these things happening, and it becomes right into the context of what's going on here. In chapter 13, and remember, we leave off the Israelites. Their army was not looking too good. They didn't have only but two swords. And a couple spears maybe, and then everybody else. Ew. And a lot of people were running away anyways, hiding in caves and holes and whatever else they can get to. And he had 600 men. And Saul was failing. He wasn't leading very well. He couldn't wait for Samuel and you know, just his integrity was at stake there, and it wasn't showing very well. So this army, this time, was looking pretty desperate and hopeless, like the 101st Airborne Division with all these Panzer tanks and the German army coming down on them. They're hiding in foxholes trying to stay alive in this cold weather that they barely were able. They were fighting the cold weather, starvation, lack of ammo, and then the Germans. And probably a lot of other issues, too, mental issues, seeing their fellow soldiers, their friends, their brothers dying beside them. So this is what's happening here. See, the army of Israel was pressed very hard. It's looking hopeless, desperate, a no-win situation. Well, there's always hope if you look for it in the right place. Because in chapter 14, we see this hope breaking through the darkness, don't we? Don't we? King Saul wasn't ready. See, one thing God does, if somebody's not ready and they're the leader, he'll find somebody else. He'll raise up an Esther. He'll raise up a Moses. He'll raise up that person, and he'll use his life. And he just happens to decide to use this life of this guy named Jonathan. So he can move. Nothing stops his plan. Nothing stops it. There's a battle going on, a spiritual battle going on, a physical battle going on. Nothing's going to stop him from carrying out his promises to the completion of what he said he'd do. Not even a big army of the Philistines. So this is where we're at. And we're going to see how this comes together for even for our lives as well. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, yes, we come before you, and we do just beseech you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and minds to these words of yours. Lord, we've heard it time and time again, I'm sure. Or if it's the first time, well, may it sink in deep. and remind us, and something that we're not just going to listen to and say, well, that's good, and just forget about it as we go on our lives for the next week or for the rest of our lives. No, I may, Lord, Father, I pray that you'll reach it so deep, that you'll send it so deep into our hearts that we will be walking it every day from then on out. Teach us and guide us, empower us by your Spirit in these words, and may you receive the glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Geraldine mentioned a good news club there. We're going to do a little good news thing right now. We're going to do the word up. Now, what we're going to do is, you see, there's two things. There's two declarations of truth that we have to understand. And this is what we've been teaching the kids too, all right? So what we do is we stand up. So everybody stand up. And when you hear word up, this is what you do. You stand up, if you can. I don't want to hurt you. If you're having trouble, just stay there and look pretty. All right? So what you do is you reach up and you say, God, all right, point up, God keeps, so he keeps his promises. All right? So we're going to practice that once. Ready? Whoa, what? I have to say it first. Word up. God keeps his promises. And, you know, and we know that there should be an always in there. It's just, we just know it's an always with God, right? So one more time. God keeps his promises. All right? Now, that was one. The second one is this. God is in control. One more time. God is in control. All right. One more time. Ready? Word up. Lord, patience, patience. We're going to do both of them. All right, ready? So this, because when I say word up, we're going to do both, okay? Ready? Word up.
God keeps his promises. God is in control.
You know, I don't believe you. Right? One more time. Word up.
God.
What? Wait, time out. God. No, no, I'm talking God. All right, ready? Word up.
God keeps his promises. God is in control.
Thank you. You may be seated now. So if I say word up, see, A plus here, you guys. So we'll keep you on honest. We'll keep you honest here. That's right. And that's what we're here. Because God is always teaching. Isn't he? God doesn't care of your age. God's always teaching us, isn't he? If you stop learning, you're dead. You're in the grave. You're already buried, okay? All right? You're always learning, no matter if you're trying to resist it or not. You're always learning. So praise the Lord. That was pretty good. I thought it was, Dan, what do you think? That was okay? He's been doing the word up, so, you know, so he's the professional on that. So those are things. So Just be aware. I don't want you crying at me and stuff like that afterward. I hurt my toe because I got up too fast. Some of that, all right? Just, you know what you can do. All right, so looking at this scripture here, we're going to look at Jonathan a little bit closer here, son of Saul. And he says, let's go over. He talks to his armor bearer, and he says, let's go over to those Philistines outposts and see what's going on, right? So this guy is pretty courageous. We already seen him. He already made a stink, right? In chapter 13, he made Israel stink in the nose of the Philistines by attacking this outpost. Well, what else is he going to do? Well, truthfully, I believe that God is just pushing in, you know, he's saying, I choose you, and I'm going to have you do this. And he's just following what God is putting upon his heart. He has courage, but I believe that power and the movement of the Spirit in his life is just prompting him, not even telling his dad. Because he knew his dad would probably shut him down. Because we were already starting to get the feel of what the personality, the character of Saul. He's kind of a control freak as we get to know him. I'm not convicting anybody here, am I? Okay. I see Karen going, maybe it's Jim or maybe me. I don't know. I'm not going to talk anymore on that. So, So John is moving. And Jonathan sees this, and he prompts, he's going forth in that. And he's going through this area. This is not a walk in a park. This area where he is, I saw a picture of it, there's two cliffs, and they're high, and they're rocky. And it takes a lot of effort to get through all the brush and all that stuff to get through to the point of where he wants to be. So there's a lot, you know, it's not an easy travel there. Oh, I forgot to do this. Maybe I'll just keep this one up. Did I turn this off? Yes, I did. There, I'll just keep that up for us to help some people who are needing help. So John is moving on. And, you know, praise the Lord that he has an armor bearer. Because, you know, you can do things on your own, but it's just not the same. You know, when remember Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he sent out what? One? He sent them out in what? In pairs, right? There's something about that. When you get married, you are what? Two becoming one, but you're really two together, you know, your partner. So, you know, there's something about that too, you know, coming together, there's comfort, but there's also just work and just way what we'll see here, there's a reason for that as well. So he goes forth and he's talking with them and he says this there in verse 6, he says to his armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. It's kind of like Dallas Cowboys saying, hey, let's go over to the Pittsburgh Steelers stadium and whoop them back. All right, something like that, all right? That's where it's coming from. Okay, I just want to... I heard something over there, but I will just not think about it. And then he says this, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Do you hear that? All right, so a lot of people do that and say, yeah, the Lord's going to work, we're going to do it. The Lord's got this. But they forget, the Lord is the Lord. He's the king. He's the one with the plan. If you're really walking closely with the Lord, you will know not to put anything on a God other than his word and his character. If you start presupposing what he's going to do and forcing his will, thinking that it's your will, there might be some issues. You might be going into that camp without him going before you. And you don't want that, because if that happens, there's not a good result in that. So he's saying, perhaps. Just, you know what? Where did you hear that before? A guy named Daniel, remember? And he had friends, these three friends, when the king Nebuchadnezzar says, you bow down to this music and these sounds and, you know, and give honor, worship my idol I set up. And they say, sorry, we're only going to worship the Lord. Do what you want. Throw us in a furnace. If God wants to rescue us, and they knew too, God might have just wanted to take them home. But then we know that God rescued them, right? Jesus came right in there and took care of them. They came out of the furnace without even a smell of smoke. So perhaps, so for us, when we're calling upon the Lord, we got these big agendas and these plans of ours and stuff like that, we got to be careful not to say, God is on my side and he'll do whatever I want. See, it's kind of like bringing the ark in like as a little magical piece of furniture and thinking that just because that is there, I win. Well, it might not be that way. He might have other plans. Maybe he wants you to lose at this one, so he'll teach you a lesson or teach somebody else a lesson. I don't know. But it is his will that will be done. When Jesus was in a garden, he had to get through, hit past I believe it was his human will up against his Father's will. And he said, no, don't. You know, I know you can take this cup from me, but your will be done, not mine. And that's really where this is. We're seeing this, perhaps. So, you know, Jonathan's got a close relationship with the Lord that he would even say that. Because other people don't. They say, God told me to do this, and they go. And then you see them fall flat on her face a little bit later on, or whatever happens. Oh, why? God doesn't care about me. And they start crying and all that stuff. I can't even go, well, you know, God's will happen. And if we force it, we could be dealing with things that we didn't want to. Another thing he said here is very important as well. He says, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few. That's awesome. Memorize that. Because now there's not a, I wonder, I'm not sure, perhaps. No, now it's, yes, this is going to happen. Because I know the character of God. I have seen him already at work through people like a Gideon, you know, who had this small force of people up this, against this great army. And, you know, they whooped them badly because God was going before them. And so the numbers don't care. 1, 2, 300, whatever. It can take anybody out. And they'll find out this as well. So there's a heart, a faith. There's a heart, a belief in God, knowing that, yes, nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing. So when we're out there living our lives and people are trying to conform us, or they're saying, hey, you got to be like us, or they're pressing you, hey, don't talk about Jesus. Don't use that name here. Well, maybe you need to go, you know what? I'm who I am. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a son and daughter of Jesus, of the Father in heaven. And just trust God as we stand firm, like Chris Avell, our friend over there in Ohio, you know, who were the city hall was trying to shut down his church from staying open 24/7. They were trying to put him in jail, sounds like, for 15 years for not doing the things they wanted him to do. He stood firm. He presented himself as a follower of Christ. And now all the charges have been dropped. See, when it looks like you're being outnumbered and you're starting to shake in your boots and want to run and hide in a cave or find that little hole or whatever, or that bush to hide behind, don't. You know, because we're not standing alone. If you're really walking with Christ, you got all this. You got his angels surrounding you. So there's no reason to run and hide. And people are mocking you for praying and for using the name of Jesus. Well, just stand firm. Say, hey, you know what? This is, I know. And I hope that you will know one day as well. So there's something to stand firm in. Your one is mightier than millions because of who you stand in. You stand in Christ, nothing can take you down. And I think that's something we have to remember as we walk in this world where it's always trying to cause us to change and not to use the name of Jesus or not to stand in the word of God. It's so hateful and things like that. No, we need to just speak it as it is and allow it to work its wonders in the hearts of others like it did for us. So don't be afraid. Go forth in that. So the battle belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? Because then what happens here, here's your loyal companion, right? It's great to have somebody like this. Do all you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. That's it, man. That's all you have to hear. Let's go. So then they have this little plan to working out here. You know, we're going to come out. We're going to go show ourselves to them. And if they say, hey, stay down there, we'll come to you, and they would just stay there. They won't go up. But if they say, hey, come on up here. We're going to teach you a lesson. You know, don't you like that? Come on. I'm the king of the hill type thing. Come on up. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, yeah. And then he says, that's the sign. That's the sign that we believe God is saying he's going before us. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Wow. So he just goes forth confidently. There's not like, I don't know, let's go back and look at this. We need to put some, do some math and do some statistics and things. No, no, there's none of that going on. He's just going, it's done. We're on. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, so they had to climb. It's not just a walk, it's a climb, right? And his armor bearer's behind him. Now listen, this is why you have a buddy with you. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. So Jonathan probably sliced him, you know, and probably get an arm or a leg, and the guy's going, oh, he's on the ground or whatever. And this guy just come and go, pop, that's it. Slice off the jugular. That's probably what happened. You know, maybe a little head rolling here and there. Yeah, no, this is a battle. There's no plan. This is it. You know, they're going, they're doing this. And then, you know what? When you're seeing this happen and they take down 20 within just a small area, well, oh my, this stirs things up. It's because, look, they're in 15. The panic struck. The whole army, those in the camp and the field, those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground, what? Shook. It was a panic sent by God. Boom. They couldn't resist. It was just something that only God can move and do. See, when you look up a little bit back at Saul, there in verse 2, you know, what's Saul doing? Sitting under a pomegranate tree. He's got a high priest there. He's got the priest there. He's got the ephod. That means, you know, you can discern what God's guidance is and stuff like that. He also has 600 men, and he's sitting there, maybe eating some pomegranates too. See, why wasn't he inquiring of God before in all this quiet time? Why didn't he have the priest do the offering right then and there so that he can receive the blessings and the guidance he needed? But then he was caught off guard. See, the panic starting to go, and the Philistines were melting away, the whole army, and he's going, what happened? And then he goes like this, instead of going, hey, priest, let's get... Come on, we need to get the Lord in this and stuff like that. He's going, hey, let's go count the men. Let's see who left us. What's that about? It's about him. It's about him. And so they waste time doing that, and they're losing these precious moments to go out there and attack these guys. And they're not even coming and getting the Lord's blessings and his guidance to make sure that he even wants them to do this. Because this is going to be something that God just wants to do by himself. He's doing pretty good as it is on his own. Or just two guys. Right? Saul just, he's just into himself. And then at this one part, then when he finally found out that it was his own son, he then started going, well, we got to inquire of the Lord. But then there in verse 19 at the end, it says, just as they're doing that, and the Philistine army, he's just missing out. Things are getting even more crazy. The panic is just going wild. And then he says, withdraw your hand. Stop. We got to go. So now he's going on his own initiative without any guidance, without any blessing from the Lord, any knowledge from the Lord of what to do. And then when he gets into this, he's already too late as it is. Because look what happened. The Philistines were in confusion. What were they doing? Fighting each other. So here's this army coming in. Remember, they just have wood pitchforks. I don't know what they had to fight with. But now they had swords because, you know, people were falling on the ground and their weapons on the ground too. They probably picked them up and they will do it. But they're late. They're late. They missed it. See, Saul's hesitance and doubt cause a lot of problems. In fact, as we'll find out next week, he misses a huge opportunity. He misses a huge opportunity. He relies upon himself. Doesn't go well. But then when you look a little bit further on, in verse 23, at the end here, it says what? So on that day, who saved Israel? Who? Who? The Lord. The Lord saved Israel. It wasn't Jonathan and his armor bearer. It wasn't Saul and his army. It was the Lord. Just like we saw in General Patton's Third Army. They couldn't get out of that slog and mess. And then they prayed, 250,000 of them praying. And God opened up the sky, so then they can start moving again. And then when the Germans came in, and these guys that were surrounded, they were standing firm as best they could. And then as more prayers were being lifted up, and then finally the skies cleared there and opened a way for the supply lines and the armor to come in and push back the Germans. But this is all God's work. You know, General Patton would be the first guy to say, yeah, we're praying to the Almighty God. We were just doing our part, but God was the one moving the clouds and stopping the rain. And the ground shook. And there was victory. The Lord brings victory. The battle belongs to the Lord. Just like that song, you know, we go through tough times in our lives, but we know that we have one that we can trust in that goes before us in these battles, these life battles. And we're not doing it alone. And there's victory on the other side of it, no matter what happens to us. No matter what it looks like to other people, there's victory on the other side for all those who stand firm in faith in Jesus. See, the Lord saves. There's all those, you know, this Bruce was reading earlier about King Jehoshaphat. They had a huge army coming after him. There was just a small group of guys in a city and stuff. They knew they were in trouble. And God said, all you have to do, you know, I'll take care of these guys, but I do want you to do this. You don't have to go fight, but you need to go out and watch. And not only did they go out and watch, but they went out praising God, praising him as an army. And then they stood still and watched, and they saw God fight for them and destroy that huge army out there. And they were able to plunder it, all the goods. Same thing here. In a respect, the leader was kind of making it a little bit more difficult and maybe didn't get the results that they could have. But all God used was two guys, and he didn't even need them. He didn't even need them, but he used them because that's just what he's doing, because he's teaching people about him. Just like we're learning in Exodus, he's doing these things, he's doing these plagues, he's doing all these powerful wonders so that they, the Egyptians and Pharaoh and the Israelites, will what? Know that I am the Lord. That's what it's about. See, he doesn't need us, but he uses us, and he wants us to experience his power and be a part. And as we were talking earlier with Sam there in Ephesians, you know, partnering with God and what he has for us, the call that he put upon our lives. He's put this call upon Jonathan's life to be a warrior. And we're talking about that, right, Will? That warrior's heart, right? Praying for that warrior's heart, just seeing that God has a warrior's heart. Word up! Good. No. This is the declaration. Ready? Word up. Always. You may see it. You may be seated. That was pretty C plus. C plus, something like that. See, one thing, you know, with the priest, Saul said, withdraw your hand. I tell you the opposite. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand to the Lord God Almighty. in prayer. Hold out your hand to his word as you read. Hold out your hand to those around us who need prayer, encouragement, who need guidance and direction in their lives, and point them to the one who can do that for them. Don't withdraw your hand. If it's you and your own agenda and you're after your own pride, your own thing, your own glory, well, okay, withdraw your hand. But if you're after the glory of the Lord, don't withdraw. I don't care how many people are after you. King David said, how many enemies I have. You know, how many times he's spoken in the Psalms of people trying to take him down. But he says, no, I will not. I will stand firm in my rock and my salvation, my fortress, who is God. So hold out your hand in prayer. There's so many people around us that need our prayers that will break the chains in their lives that keep them from coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They might know his name, they might know about him, they might even believe in a God, but they don't have a saving personal relationship with Christ that they need. So don't withdraw your hand. Continue to pray and perseverance. Be this audacious faith that we see in Jonathan and his armor bearer who are doing something stupid in the eyes of humanity. But what a delight in the eyes of the Lord. You be the same way. Hold out your hand, knowing that you're reaching out to the one, the Most High God, who is the great I Am, the capital I, the capital A, the capital M, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, perfect, holy, unchangeable God who loves us and who will go before us. That is what he's looking for. Word up. Come on. Come on. Wait. No, we're going to do it together. Come on, ready? I mean, this is a declaration. I want to hear it. Ready? Go.
God keeps his promises.
One more time.
God keeps his promises. God is in control.
Always. And the ground shook. And your enemy is shaking right now. And all of his demon forces are falling apart and in panic because of your declaration. Stand firm in it and see him do amazing things. For what? The battle belongs to the Lord. And when he goes before us, no one can stand against. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word and a powerful teaching of just looking at the lives of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Lord, we know that you went before them. We ask that you'll go before us. Yeah, it's hard. It's a daily battle, truthfully. It's so easy to conform and get into the culture here and just go along and just be happy and just look for things that are convenient, easy to do. But Father, you have called us for much more. All that is waiting for us in heaven for eternity, and it's even better than this world can ever offer. It is more beautiful, everlasting inheritance of beauty and of riches and of power. And that's what we desire. It's there, being in your presence. But Father, right now we ask that you'll give us that spirit fire to move us, to hold out our hand to you, to open our hearts to you, to allow you to work through us like a Jonathan and his armor bearer, and to go and do mighty things as you lead and guide, as you go before and fight those battles. Though it might look like Jonathan and his armor bearer did it, and they're a part of it, but it is you that brings the victory. And may we live with that, in that knowledge that you always keep your promises, and you are always in control. No matter if we believe it or not, no matter if it looks like it or not, no matter if we understand it or not, you are in control. And may we live on these declarations, these truths that will help us in our day-to-day walk, our heartbeat to heartbeat, breath to breath life, that you sustain us, that you'll use us to advance your kingdom here on mountaintop and around the world as you raise up others. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.